Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com, it's tough to do the radio show when the headset's not on. I was ready to start talking, and the headset's not on. I'll tell you, getting a little punchy. Made me laugh. All of a sudden, I realized, wait a minute. Well, it's I'm just kind of catching up on a few things here that we didn't get to yesterday, and yeah, it's kind of a catch-all. I think this morning we are going to talk to Graham Motion. Looking forward to that. We'll talk to Graham in hour two, and got a few things and catch up. I can't remember actually when last time we talked, and we're gonna get ready for Saturday. We're gonna get ready for Far Hills, and Guy Torsiglieri is going to join us, and I must admit, I'm a little sick about not being able to go. But as I said earlier, I promised promised Tina we were going to go for the baby's birthday. It's one of those things, a one-year-old birthday party. Okay, it's not like he's going to. Not like he's going to say at some point, I had such a good time when you came for my first birthday party. It was the greatest. We are actually going to take advantage of the not just, spending time with the kids, but the grandchildren, but also we're going to see Judge Coker, Bill Coker. We're going to have, did not get to see Coker at Saratoga this summer, and usually we get together. And in fact, speaking of Coker, Ian Wilkes, unfortunately, it's not for a happy recap. There's a much more serious topic, but mutual friend, Bill Coker and Ian Wilkes, and a lot of times we have had typically Pinnells. Typically we do a big, close to the end of the season. But Ian's going to join us, actually. We're going to call upon the audience to help with Paul Jeremy, who many of you know in Kentucky, and dealing with a cancer diagnosis and treatment. So Ian's going to bring us up to speed, and maybe some of you aren't aware. There's actually also, I hate that we've got so many of these kinds of scenarios, but there's actually a couple of, it's been a couple of horsemen, some passings that I do want to get to. So we've got a little bit of everything, and we still got to do some recapping from the weekend. And so that's all happening. I think Kim Weir is going to join us too, actually. I'm going to talk to Kim. There's a couple of things coming up, especially, this month, in these weeks leading up to Breeders' Cup. Good opportunity on that front, on the aftercare opportunities. And they just had a very nice, aftercare event at Woodbine over the weekend too. And actually, speaking of Woodbine, I'm hoping we're going to get a chance to talk to Darwin Brannick, who has got what looks to be a very nice horse in Bushido, the first samurai, yeah, that that won the Ontario racing. So reached out to Darwin, too. And more. What else? Let me, Andy Serling, hour three. I think Popo is back from his West Coast. He didn't go all the way to the West Coast. He stopped short of the West Coast. But I think he's back from his trip, so we'll catch up with Popo, too. So kind of an eclectic morning. You know, one, I was hoping Steve Anderson was going to be able to join us, but he's at the airport, actually, as we speak, and is heading somewhere. It's going to be out this week after the two big weekends at Santa Anita, because I was hoping we could maybe get some of the recap, some of the non-stake stuff that we talked about yesterday. I will talk about one result, though, from Santa Anita on Sunday, which was a sort of a rematch in its own way of Saturday's American Pharoah. And of course, we're talking about what happened, first on Saturday, where the Pegram, Watson, and Whiteman star 2-year-old, Cave Rock, was too much for Hijazi, and National Treasure was basically too much for any of his other stablemates out of the Baffert barn. And then on Sunday, though, and of course, that's for Amer Zidane. But then on Sunday, we haven't had a chance to discuss the 2-year-old confrontation that came on Sunday in the middle of that. It actually came right after the early pick five, the carryover sequence, which was a lot of fun and, a couple hundred. It was, better to cash and, better to cash than trash. And the second half of the card started with that race. And I just am pulling up as we speak. I'm just pulling up the number because I'm curious. I hadn't looked at it to see what kind of a fig. 92. 92 buyer for Arabian Lion. So in this Sunday matchup, Arabian Lion, the Zidane, and this was one Gary Young told you about after the Pennsylvania Derby. And Arabian Lion and Elwood Blues, that's the Pegram, Watson, and Whiteman runner. So it was kind of fun that they had the stake matchup on Saturday, and then they come together. And Hijazi, we'll have to check with Gary what they're going to do. I mean, Hijazi has kind of, run into buzzsaws, essentially. So he may take some time and need to maybe regroup a little bit, maybe grow up a little bit more. I don't know. We'll see. It's not like he hasn't run races that normally would win. But the Justify, the battle of the Justifies, goes in this case to Zidane and Arabian Lion. And it should be noted, too, Arabian Lion was on May foal. So what's the May 1st? And the Justify story is quite something. This was a $600,000 OBS 2-year-old that Gary told you about. And then what's the other one? There was American Lion and American, or not American, Arabian Lion and Arabian, I'm going to forget the other one. I got it written down somewhere in this pile of countless PPs and such. So that was one spot that needed to be discussed. Arabian Lion. The other stakes on Sunday, the other races on Sunday, we should talk about too while we got a second, while I'm here, right? Because, Phil DeMaio, I guess I could probably get Phil. On, actually. That might not be, because he did win, three? I mean, going to Vegas, right? Yeah, he won with going to Vegas on Saturday, the Rodeo Drive, then came back on Sunday, the Surfer Girl, Comanche Country, and that Hamwood Flyer as well, who won the Swing Time, which was that's one of those, they're fun, those restricted, one of those restricted non-winners of a sweepstake that very often are super competitive. This one was not. Hamwood, I tried to get, Natural Color, I'm sure you saw it. I had a lot of fun Sunday playing Santa Anita. And tried with a lot of prices and also, then respected horses like Hamwood Flyer, for instance. And it worked out pretty good. There was one beat, however. Was that on Saturday or Sunday? I thought I was home with somebody and got absolutely nailed at the wire. And there's just so many PPs here. It's crazy. Broke Sun. What was it? No, wasn't Donner Lake. No, I can't remember. It had like a 9-to-1. There's been a lot of these. A 9-to-1 shot just get beat by a favorite. It's just, you live with that. Actually, and it's funny, I was on the phone. I could probably trace it back. I was on the phone with Andy. Probably was Saturday night then. Anyway, say the least, I'm a little verklempt here already. Paxawalop was the one of the winners that I wanted to elaborate on for Jeff Mullins. And you know who ran great in that race was the long shot, who you figured was going to be on the lead, and Castle Knock took him a long way at like 40-to-1, I think was the number, right? Ran very, very well and held second as it happened. And 8th, 9th. There we go. My God. Here it is. 44-to-1, Castle Knock was. 44-to-1. And ended up in the end getting beat 2 3/4 lengths. But Mike Smith on this Creative Cause colt. And, tomorrow with Sid, I may bring up Creative Cause. And is it me? It feels like Creative Cause is really settled into, grinding out useful horses and plus. We're going to maybe give that to Sid to play with. Paxawalop, this is Creative Cause out of a city zip mare, bred by Oak Ridge Farm, and is a Red Baron's Barn, Rancho Temescal. We got so many nice horses. And he has this colt has now won 3 straight. The move to the turf got it going, and being, out of a city zip mare, that'll go a long way. Broke the maiden at Del Mar going 5, and then stretched out to a mile and won that Del Mar juvenile turf. And if you watch this race, it was even money, so, this is not any kind of a surprise. But the way in which Paxawalop won this, I thought was pretty impressive. And Mike Smith, you could see that Smith absolutely, knew that he was winning and just needed to keep Paxawalop in position, to take on and pass Castleknock. Peter Miller had sent Castleknock. We were, in fact, I think we, I'm pretty sure we were there for that race. Yeah, we were at Kentucky Downs. Ran in that juvenile. But what's notable about this with Paxawallop, this feels like a horse that could come to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf and have a, you know, have a sniff. Figure-wise, I know he's improved every single start. 82, Buyer, winning the Zuma Beach. So maybe we'll get, we haven't talked to Mullins. Maybe we'll get Jeff Mullins in here. Get some room in between 10 and 10:30. That's a good idea. All right. We're going to get to, see this, there are too many days where I say, this will make Casey laugh. I there aren't too many days where I feel like I needed, you know, like a producer. Today is one of those days, like the, this is one of those times. What's that from? What's that from the minister at the beginning of, what's the movie with all the friends and William Hurt and Kevin Klein and Glenn Close, they're out there. Oh, come on, help me with this. Oh my God, how could I not remember this? Right, it's a touchstone picture from what, the late 80s. Oh my God, somebody. All right, I'm watching on Twitter. Help me with this. And Kevin Costner is the dead body. You know, the friend killed himself. Big Chill. Thank you, Dawn. My girl, Dawn Deems. Thank you, Dawn. How could I not remember the name of the Big Chill? There, Declan. By the way, Declan Carroll just texting me. I hope you heard yesterday, and I felt terrible that I did not get a chance to text you and congratulate you on the win. But I'm sure you heard yesterday, and you know how delighted I was for you to win a race like the Breeders. First of many big stakes for Decky Carroll. I'm sure that Davey and Kim and even your sister's proud of you. Even Aislinn is proud of you. I love it. I love it. And Deck is he's saying he'll produce the show on off days. I love it. All right. Well, thank you, Dawn, and thank you, Declan. You know what? This could be a new way to do this. I wouldn't have to prepare. I could just interact with people all morning, all 3 hours. That actually would be a fun experiment. My point is, Decky says his sister is tough to please, Aislinn. So all you prospective beaux that are, and let me tell you, if she may be tough to please, it'll be tough to get the approval of Davey and Kim. Somebody better be plenty intrepid when they come to talk to the Carrolls about asking for Aislinn's hand. My point was, this is one of those times, right? That's what the minister says. Oh my God, I'm in trouble here, folks. We're going to talk to Guy Torsalieri. Let's get this thing started because I'm wandering around blind without a cane. What's that from? See if you can't come up with that. Sweet Smell of Success, by the way. Which is my go-to. Relax, pal. That horseradish won't jump a fence. Oh my my God. There you go, Case. Let's get Guy Torsell. Guy will save me because we'll find out so much about Far Hills for Saturday, as well as if where the Christmas tree is going to come from for Rockefeller Center this year. They've picked it out, undoubtedly. And the one thing I think I'm confident, it's not going to come from the neighborhood of the Clancys this year. That, right? That was a big cause celeb. They drew yesterday for Saturday at Far Hills, and I want, as we do every year with Guy, we actually got to get a few things in with Guy because we'll find out about tickets available if anybody is still hadn't made arrangements and you want to come. Parking spaces are, you know, for the tailgating is impossible, but everything else, you know, walk up, walk in, walk around, passes, and plus there's the, sometimes there's some seating in the, they got a beautiful tent that's trackside, and Guy Torsellieri joins us, and I can't say enough times how disappointed I am that I can't be there, but we will still celebrate it and get everybody excited about the Far Hills race meeting Saturday. Guy, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good, and one more apology for not being able to come.
Well, I understand. It's somebody's birthday, right?
It's the one-year-old grandson. Like he's going to know. I mean, honestly,
that's what I said. He'll never remember. He won't hold it against you. Well, we'll miss you next year.
I know. All right. Well, I want to make sure that everybody's excited and looking forward to it. The overnight came out, and before we talk about the racing, let's give everybody the lay of the land and see if there's any possibility if people want to make arrangements to attend yet.
Yeah, so it looks like we're quickly selling out of the chairman's tent, but there's still some tickets available there. If you go on farhillsrace.org, you can purchase your tickets to that tent. A great venue. It's a great place to celebrate and watch the races. It's right at the finish line, so it's a great place to be. So we'd invite all of you to join us if you can. If not, we'll be on Fox Sports this year. The Naira folks are bringing in a full team to distribute the races and so forth, so you'll be able to watch it that way. But we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great day.
And how about taking the train out and the train, New Jersey Rail basically, you know, drops you right at the base of the hill. And for those that, you know, have not, you know, kind of explored how to get there, walk-up tickets, how much are for just walk-ins?
So it's best for you to buy your tickets ahead of time because they're $110 for general admission. And walk up, you don't want to do because it's $220. So you clearly want to buy your tickets before the day. It looks like the weather's going to be great. Ticket sales are brisk at the moment, so we're looking forward to it. But, yeah, the New Jersey Transit, you can come right out of New York City and literally the train station is touches our property right in the borough of Far Hills, so it's an easy way to get to and from the event.
For those that have never been, it is so much fun. And one thing we have not done yet, and I'll do it as we speak, is look ahead. You know, we've had some weather, obviously, the last week and a half, thanks to the remnants of the hurricane. But how do you look for Saturday?
So we watered, as you know, it was very, very dry. So we irrigated the track the entire summer. So the turf's in great shape. It's probably listed as good right now. Looks like we're going to have some rain coming in on Thursday and clearing up for Friday and Saturday. So I think we're going to have a very, very fair racing surface.
Excellent. And I'm just looking at, I've got dark skies on, and 0% chance of rain on Saturday, 70 degrees and sunny, fabulous forecast, and getting up to, yeah, getting up to in the 60s. It's going to start cool, but that's perfect. Everybody pull out all your layers, a couple of layers probably, and you'll be in good shape. It should be looks like a beautiful day.
Yeah, it's shaping up to be a great day, and as you said, we've got, you know, seven races with a really nice card and parimutuel wagering again this year through Monmouth Park. You can go on if you you have to have your app. If you're a New Jersey resident, it's for NJBets. And you can go, and I highly recommend if you are going to, it's the only way you can wager at Far Hills is through your phones and apps. We don't have any live tellers here. We had issues with that in prior years with connectivity and so forth, but we highly recommend that you load that app on your phone before you get to the property, because it's very easy to use if you have that app. We saw last year that it was very difficult for new customers to load the app the day of the event. So if you do that beforehand, that would be great. If you're not a New Jersey resident, Naira Bets, you can sign up for that as well. And you can, again, preload the app, because it won't load, or it's very difficult to load the day of the event.
Guy, that brings up an interesting question. You know, because of Jersey and, you know, the restrictions, you know, the geo positioning and all that, geo tracking, if you've got a different service like Naira Bets, you'll be able to bet on site. You won't get blocked. There won't be any of that stuff to deal with.
That is my understanding. That's correct. We again, if you're a New Jersey resident, you can only do it through 4NJBets. If you're not a New Jersey resident, you can't get 4NJBets. It's just ridiculous how they're doing this, and hopefully it'll start getting their act together and cleaning it up. But for now, that's where we stand with it. But you're correct. If you have a Naira Bets and you're from a different state, it will work on the property.
Excellent. All right. Well, because I had heard that was up for the New Jersey Bets thing is coming. Well, right. It's coming to an end. The term and there's the potential for
we're improving every year.
that's a pleasant way of framing this
right,
because basically people in New Jersey, horse players in New Jersey, feel like you know, it's the gulag. They feel like Solzhenitsyn, essentially.
And it's sort of ironic because Dennis Drazen, you know, did so much for,
yes,
the betting and so forth, and we're sort of, New Jersey's, we'll get there.
All right, let's. I'm having trouble with my printer to print the overnight here, and so I'll have to read from the overnight. Let's talk about the feature where after a lot of ups and downs and some pointing toward this spot, we basically see the Grand National itself going through Snap Decision, who will, you know, take on eight comers here, and we will not get a rematch of the Mean Queen and Snap Decision here.
No, we were disappointed to see that the Mean Queen wasn't going to defend, but I understand it's a minor setback, and hopefully we'll see her another time, but I think it's shaping up to be a great race. We've got some invaders coming in from across the pond, and it's not a done deal. It's still a horse race.
Oh, no doubt about it. And when you talk about some international participation, you've been promoting that guy for an extended period. A lot of that has to do with the way the purses were building and being enhanced. We've talked you know, we've talked the last couple of years about the setback that what pandemic did. You know, you were angling toward $1 million day for the 100th meeting. Now you're sort of regirding and rebuilding, and it seems like it's going to go well. I mean, you got nice full fields for this card. There's also, as we had talked about, I think about, 2 months ago, we talked about the flat race that the John Forbes that was created, and that comes mid-card, and you got a 14-horse field in here.
We had actually 25 noms for that race. So
wow.
When we first started talking about it, people were saying, "Oh, it'll never work," and so forth. And it's a spectacular race. I mean, we've got we've got a full field of 14. We had 25 noms, and it should be a fantastic race. 2 miles on the turf, starting dropping the flag like we run steeplechase races, no starting gate, and we've got a couple of flat jockeys that are coming up from Monmouth Park to ride. So I hope they're gonna bring a lot of lead because they're running at what 148, 140.
Yeah, here's Isaac Castillo is gonna pack 148, Nick Juarez 140, Fergal Lynch 144.
Right, great.
That's great.
Well, we level the field. Come on up. You know, we're giving away $100,000, and like I said, it should be a very, very competitive race. Back to your point about the purses, as we talked about before, we got crushed with COVID and so forth, and we're in a rebuilding mode, and we were pointed toward that $1 million card, our high water mark. In 2019, the big race was $450,000 purse. We had a lot of international attention for that. Last year was our first year back from the pandemic, and we had to drop it down to $150,000, and I don't think we had any shippers. And this year at $250,000, we've got two or three. So it's we're headed back to where we were. I don't know how long it'll take me to get up to where I want to be, but stay tuned. We're in the growing mode.
Well, it made such progress over the years, and so it'll gear back up and explain. I'll go through some of the other races in a second. Explain, Guy, again. We do this every conversation every year. The nature of the meeting and the beneficiary, the medical center, and you know what the purpose in essence of Far Hills has become.
Right. So Far Hills is one of the 28 steeplechase meets that are up and down the East Coast, and most of us are 501c3s, which we're not-for-profit for something, whether it's healthcare or whatever. And the Far Hills Race Meeting is a 501c3. We are for healthcare in the region. All our purse money is derived from our gate and our corporate tent sales and advertisement and so forth. We were helped with our purse money with the John Forbes from Monmouth Park. We appreciate that tremendously. But after expenses and so forth, we donate a tremendous amount of money to healthcare in the region. This year, we've pledged over $400,000 to healthcare, and we hope to continue to do that. Over the years, we've given almost $20 million to local healthcare in the region. The Steeplechase Cancer Center at Robert Wood Johnson Hospital in Somerville is named after us. That's where the trophies are housed in a big glass case. So it's for a great cause, and it's been working very well.
Well, the card that we're looking forward to and be watching, and as you mentioned, Fox is picking it up. I don't know how many of the races are they going to show.
All of them.
Are they really?
All of them. We're on FS1 from I think 12:30 to 2:30, and then FS2 from 2:30 to close. So Acacia's coming out, and the MIG's coming out, and we've got a set up here, and we're really excited about it. It's
that's tremendous.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
This guy, this is a, that's a, I, you know, I figured, maybe the PPAC and the, you know, and the feature and, you know, just a couple, two or three, but that has got real potential to intrigue some people. And, wow, are they going to use, they're using some drone? How are they, I just think they can use the regular camera team for this?
We, they're working with International Sound, and we've got
nice.
A lot of cameras being set up as we speak, and their portable studio that's going up. And, yeah, no, it's great. It was, we did it last year. Liza Hendricks came out, and they sent one camera, and it was so successful that Naira agreed to do it again, and it's bigger and better this year, and it's the start of something that I hope continues for a long time and continues because it's just a great partnership and a great blend, and you know, bringing in the John Forbes turf stakes is just adds to it as well, and you know, it's pretty exciting. I'm really excited about it.
I'm excited for you. That's a potential boon. Some people will see chase racing in a, you know, maybe perhaps for the first time, chances are, you know, they see it, whether it was Saratoga action or Colonial action, but this is a little different. And with this setting, a non-racetrack setting, makes it very different. And this is, you know, one of the great, it's the biggest, race of the season, certainly when it comes to the Grand National, but as spectacles go and venues go, this will be terrific. The coverage looking for now. Now I've got to set the DVR too, which I get. Yeah, because I'll come home and watch.
I sent you. I don't know if you've got it. The wagering format, and we've added. We've got pick sixes, pick fours going, pick fives, pick threes. We've added those which we didn't have in the past, and I believe
got
we're
it.
Offering fixed odds as well, so that'll be interesting.
All right, I just pulled it up. I'll put this out on I'll put this online too, Kai. Very nice multi-race. There's a full pick five which starts with race three. There's two pick fours in early races one through four, and then races four through seven, so you better make sure that you understand. we'll be sure to go over the Appleton carefully with Bill and probably with Sean Clancy or Joe, and to give everybody an idea here, the Harry Harris starts things off. This is for the four-year-olds. Got a group of six to get things going, and that's two and an eighth miles. The Gladstone always one of the kind of harbingers for next year. These are three-year-olds. Got a group of eight going here, two miles and an eighth. Then a two-and-a-half mile, the Foxbrook, which is big, group of six here. So six by eight by six. Then the Appleton, group of seven, and they're going 2 miles and five-eighths. Then the flat race, 2 miles for the memory of John Forbes, 14-horse field. So that'll be big, and frankly, anybody going to be interested to look at the PPs and see if any of these horses, particularly the flat horses like Cross Border in here for the Wyckoffs, be interested to see if anybody that has negotiated Kentucky Downs would have a little bit of a hint at their ability to negotiate Far Hills with the big uphill finish. The Grand National itself, Field of Nine, led by Snap Decision, who will obviously be a short price. And then the Sporting Kings Maiden Hurdle in memory of John von Stott that has got a field of 10. So, boy, nice job here by the racing office.
Yeah, I think Bill did a fabulous job, and we've been looking forward to this ever since last year, and here it is.
Far Hills on Saturday, everybody, and everything you need in terms of coming to Far Hills, you can go to the website, and it's all there for you. How to get there, buy the tickets, reserve the reserved parking as well available, farhillsrace.org. And, of course, that gets us, Guy, to the way we end every Far Hills conversation. Give us a
I heard you this morning. You were talking about it, saying that it's not in Sean and Joe's Clancy's backyard. This year.
No.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I'm going to tell you is it's closer than you think.
Really? Closer to Maryland, Virginia than or closer in terms of the announcement of how everyone will be able to identify this year's
Christmas
tree.
I don't know. You've got to think that through. That's the only clue I'm giving you.
Interesting. Oh, but it could also mean it's coming from up here. By
maybe
me.
That's a possibility, too. You never know.
Well, actually, there was one from here just a couple of Christmases ago, right? You were up at, you took one from?
Oneonta, New York. We took two, yeah. Yep. We've been to New York a bunch of times. Connecticut,
well,
Pennsylvania, Maryland, Jersey.
We're looking for it. Yeah, this is one of the great... one of the great traditions, the announcement of where the Christmas tree is coming from Guy Torsolieri. Guy, have a fabulous, fabulous Saturday, and thanks to everybody that is going to participate. It's a magical day, and it looks like it's going to be beautiful. The racing will be great, and for those that will come for the first time, it'll be an experience they won't forget.
I really appreciate it, Steve. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Guy Torsolieri, everybody. Farhillsrace.org. And you can also follow Far Hills on Twitter as well. Far Hills Race is the Twitter address. And, of course, Jumpin' with USA, the National Steeplechase's Twitter account as well. So there's obviously going to be, it's going to, be a pretty celebratory Saturday being broadcast like that on Fox. That is very cool. I just thought they would just, last year they did cutaways with Hendrix, and I mean, having Acacia and everybody there, is that's very cool. And Mig, Mig's away, as I told you yesterday. So that I didn't get a chance to. Did he mention that last week? I don't remember him mentioning that he was going to get to go. But you'll see a lot of familiar faces. A lot of people from the flat world come, and it's just so much fun. So if you're toying with the idea and you were waiting for the weather or waiting for whatever, make it happen. Just go. All right. Go to the website. It's all there for you. Everything you need. Farhillsrace.org. All right. Kim Weir is going to join us. And, one thing about this is that, It's going to save $100 because every year we go, you know, they have a raffle, and they sell a limited number of raffle tickets for a car, and the raffle tickets are $100. I think they sell 1,000 tickets, maybe 2,000 tickets. I don't know. I don't know how they do this, because the car is obviously worth, you know, 60, 70, 80,000. It's usually a BMW, I think. And I guess, Open Road Auto Group down there, they must donate the car, I guess. And then they raise, I guess, 20, I think 2,000 tickets, I think, at $100 a clip. So every year, Tina's like, give me $100. It's like, what are we doing this for? I mean, they're never going to win. It's just ridiculous. So that $100 will be spent, though, on the baby. By the way, the baby, it's no baby. I'll put up pictures at some point. The baby the baby could it will be recruited by college to play linebacker like next year. He's a monster. He's like in the 99th percentile of everything. Height, weight, you name it. He's a big boy. All right. Well, we're trying to reach Kim Weir. So keep there we go. You got Kim now? Okay, Case. Good job. Kim Weir joins us from TRF, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And Kim, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
I'm great. We touched base last week and wanted to get back to you and hear all the exciting things going on. It's fall season and, in advance of winter and in advance of, certainly in advance of Breeders' Cup, you've got a couple of things happening that people need to know about.
Well, you're so wonderful. Yeah, it is so fun. The leaves are turning as I look at my window. It is the beginning of that final quarter, and it's an important time. It's an exciting time for horse racing, but it's an important time for our herd as we are getting ready for winter. So thank you for letting me come on and talk about the things that are on our mind. I will just jump right in there and tell you that you are always the very best ambassador for our hay drive. So for all of your listeners, it is hay drive season. A single largest line item on the budget is hay, because horses have to be eating essentially 20 hours a day. If you want to think about that for a second, their number one job in life is to be foraging 20 hours a day to keep those digestive systems running. Not to get too graphic, but that is really, really important. And hay is what enables them to do that. So we're talking hay this morning, Steve.
Well, and the hay drive is something that is so obviously basic as your reference, and it's the kind of giving request that is easy to, is easy to respond to, because yes, hay bales have gotten, a lot more expensive, but still, $10, $20, every increment helps here. There's no gift too small, literally.
Literally. It's such a well-put way of saying that, Steve, because it is basic. It is not like an expensive thing. Like a hay bale is not an expensive thing. It's just that we need so many of them because the herd starts eating like now as the leaves turn. That means the hay is going up in the hay barns and it's starting to come down into the meadows. And they're eating that hay until, late April, May. One of the things I want to chat about next will be our horses that are coming to Western New York. And let's face it, they'll be eating hay into June out there in Western New York. So it's just the quantity that's a bit daunting. And it's only through our amazing donors and great ambassadors like you, Steve, that we can do this. But we are trying to raise $120,000. So that's a single line item. We are enabled to do that because we have a great matching gift. So for those who are savvy donors who are listening, and anytime a charity of yours has a matching campaign, please jump in because it is the best way to get the most bang for your buck. It's like a value play at the races. You're going to get more for your dollar. And thanks to the amazingly generous, incredibly supportive Santulli family, they have offered that matching gift again for us this year. We are so grateful beyond measure. I hope they hear this and hope that anyone who knows them tells them how much we appreciate them. But they then mean that every one of your listeners who says, I'm going to buy a hay bale, is basically buying two hay bales because the Santulli's match dollar for dollar, and it helps us get to our goal. So thank you for letting us get that out there. Mailboxes will be seeing our hay drive appeal arrive. Our friends and all of our media partners like you and also the publications, they start running ads, and hopefully you won't be able to miss it. You can just come to our website, trfinc.org, and Hay Drive will be front and center over the months ahead.
Outstanding. And I ask you this, you're going to laugh at me because you know what I'm going to ask next. We can't restore that, that Insta give the way, in fact, I gave to the hurricane relief that way, where you text hay.
Yes, I forget. I'm so glad you brought it up, because actually I will tell you that we had a staff meeting like a week ago, and and one of my colleagues brought it up, and I thought, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about that in so long. I know we did the research. I know we were a little bit stymied, but that does never, you know, the good thing is the technology gets better every time we wait 6 months. And so I'm going to take this as my vow to look at it again, Mr. Bick. So thank you. I have not done anything with it because I know that last time I did it, I ran into a wall again. But I am not afraid of running into walls from time to time because one of those times we're going to break through and we're going to make it possible to do what you are very wisely suggesting. So,
They used to do it. That's what's strange. And I know that it still exists because political fundraising and Red Cross did it. For the hurricane.
I get them all the time, and Lord knows we all know the politicians use it. So everybody uses it. So why not our horses? And I am with you. I just have to. I'll go ahead and confess. Have not looked at it for a while, so I'm going to do that before I talk to you again next. How's that? I promise.
All right.
Good. Thank you. Publicly held accountable, and I'm all for it.
Not at all. A reminder again, there's a matching the Santulis that's so generous of them. So your money's going to go twice as far. And if there's anybody listening corporately, that can put together a, you know, 4 and 5 figure kind of a contribution, it's going to be particularly impactful. And in fact, Kim, how can somebody reach you if it's somebody that that is hearing this and knows that they've got, you know, something in their donation budget that will be
well received. Thank you. I'm going to make that super easy, and you're so good to do that because, you know, this is the time of year when all different kinds of organizations, corporations, businesses, families say, I'm going to do something in the fourth quarter. So please reach out to me, and it is as direct and as easy as kim@trfinc.org. I welcome an email, and we can be creative as well. There are ways to make your dollars make the greatest impact, and it is my joy to figure those things out and to figure out what people really care about, where you want that impact to go, whether it be the Hay Drive or the Farrier Fund or the Second Chances Program. There's lots of things, and we want each of our supporters to feel like they're directly impacting the thing that matters most to them. So thank you, kim@trfinc.org.
There it is. All right. Beside the Hay Drive, what else?
Well, the very fun thing, I have two things that are not going to be asking, now that we put that heavy ask out there for people to sit and think about. We have two things to just celebrate, and I love for your amazing audience, and then you, Steve, as someone who supports us, to know that all these dollars we do raise, they make a difference, and they're celebrated by milestones like the following. This week, as we are speaking, horses are preparing to arrive in Attica, New York, in the great western part of our beautiful state, where the Second Chances Program at the Wyoming Correctional Facility is up and running. We did a barn raising event in July. The fences have all gone in. The pastures are actually full of grass right now. We're going to enjoy that while we can before the snow comes. But the horses are coming like this week, and we cannot say enough about all that goes behind that one sentence that the horses are arriving at a new prison program, a new Second Chances program. It's like an infinite amount of labor and work and effort that has gone into this, and it's coming to fruition. When I drive home from Kentucky in early November, I'm going to stop at the farm so I can actually lay eyes of my own on our horses at this new program and our amazing farm manager there, Courtney Howe. And it's just super exciting. So I just want everyone to know that as you support, and you, my friend, especially you, who's such a big cheerleader for us, that we are doing even more thanks to the support that you've helped us raise. And we have this new program, second one, first time we've ever expanded in one state, and that's taken 40 years to get to that statement. So that's exciting. That's one thing I wanted to make sure we, you know, raise a glass or woohoo about that. The other one is that we're celebrating the third anniversary of our program out in California, my home state. So just for your, you know, good listeners to understand that we are a national organization. Those 450 horses we support live all over the United States, up and down the East Coast for sure, but also all the way out there in our neighbors on the West Coast. So that program, I was there when we cut the ribbon for that program in October 19th of 2019, and the farm manager there, who is also a correctional instructor, Heidi Richards, is someone that should just make everyone listening feel better about the world because she is a superhero. She only has 4 horses out there in desolate Coalinga, California, which is like 4 hours from nowhere in the Central Valley. But she has 16 guys in that program. They are all getting college credit. They are completing the Groom Elite curriculum, and they now have a farrier school program. So the horses are punching above their weight big time in terms of their impact on these men as they prepare to go back into society. And we're very, very proud of that program in California. Very hopeful that next time, maybe next year, I'll get to tell you about a new program in California. It's a twinkle that we are hoping turns into a flame next year. But that's something I really love for your listeners to know, that we're not just taking good care of these horses, we're taking good care of the people who care for them, too.
Excellent. Is Doc helping you with the Groom Elite, right?
Oh, absolutely. We are incredibly indebted to our dear friend Reed McClellan, Mac, as we love to call him. He has recently completely certified Courtney Howe, who's out there at Attica at the new program. So those guys in the program at Attica, which is not at Attica, but in Attica, they've been learning the Groom Elite curriculum since January, even before the horses arrived, because they're up and running. We also very excited to say, not to expand upon my list for you, Steve, but the program in South Carolina, which has been there a long time, all started by Kip Elster and Mac. That's where the Groom Elite first arrived in the TRF recipe.
Right.
They have had some pause over the last couple of years, but they're back with the Groom Elite fully in action, and Mac was just there teaching in the classroom a couple weeks ago. So, yes, he's still very much a part of our team, and we're grateful to him.
Very cool.
So good things are happening, and we are all going to be together to celebrate these things in Kentucky. I trust I'll cross paths with you there, Mr. Beck.
That'll be it. What are the Kentucky functions?
Oh, yes, sorry. So, there, well, of course, there's just the big one that we'll all be at, hopefully, at Keeneland and seeing each other, just crossing paths there. We have two things that are happening TRF-wise in Kentucky. One is actually this Saturday, sooner than later. It's at our Chestnut Hall Farm, where you and I were together a couple, I guess it's a year ago now. That is a really fun, we're just making the most of that farm. We're calling it Story Fest, and it has everything from ghost stories to kids' activities to live music, food trucks. Like, we're pulling out all the stops, and that is our first big, like, community function at Chestnut Hall. So take a look at that on our website, October 15th, this Saturday, at Chestnut Hall, right in the Louisville suburbs of Prospect. But then, as we get together in Kentucky later, in early November, we will be gathered just for all the great things that are racing-centric at Keeneland and Breeders' Cup. But we have our own little party that Friday night. For those who are looking for a place to gather and raise a glass to the horses, will be November 4th at the Griffin Gate for those who are looking for a place to grab a drink after the first day of racing. And I'd love for folks to join us and come say hi if they're free. That is also on our website under the events tab.
Well, there you go, trfinc.org, and everything you could possibly need to know, whether it's a one-time donation, whether it's some sort of a program to tie into, become a supporter on a going basis, and all the programs, as we say every time we talk to Kim and promote any functions that TRF is put together. No aftercare organization has got a more taxing assignment, really. There's nobody else that is going to care for as many horses for as many years. When TRF takes a horse on, it's for the rest of their lives. So if they get one off the racetrack at 4 or 5, there's a chance they'll be taking care of it for 20-plus years. And that means feet, that means teeth, that means everything. And so it is... You know, the most important, it's the granddaddy of aftercare organizations.
And we're going to have a big birthday to celebrate next year, Steve. You know, 40 years of this work that so many people, I mean, think about the countless people who've supported in your shoes, my shoes, every donor, 40 years. That's the year. We hit it next year, and you'll be hearing lots about it. So we are, because it's just a celebration of the granddaddy. The granddaddy's having a birthday, and we are going to celebrate with thanks for all who made that possible.
Excellent. Kimberly Weir and TRF, trfinc.org, for everything you need to know. The Hay Drive, these functions that are coming up leading into Breeders' Cup, and everything that they're doing, the second chance programs and so much more. Kim, I appreciate it. We will look forward to seeing you in Kentucky in just a couple of weeks.
Thank you so much, Steve. Be well. See you soon.
Kim Weir, folks, there it is. Let's take a break here. Two hours to come yet, and a visit from Ian Wilkes. We've got, I don't mean to put the arm on everybody back to back, but there is a fundraiser that we need to alert you to. So Ian's going to join us, and we'll talk about Paul Jeremy, who many of you know. From his blacksmith trade. So hang in there and join us for that. All right, I've also got Graham Motion coming to us in the next, I don't know, half hour, give or take, 40 minutes, and more. As we go out, don't forget, of course, we're 2 hours away from the start of OBS. Thanks to the visit from Tommy Ventura. A Macho Uno filly is first through the ring. Assuming there's no out. Macho Uno out of a midnight loop there. Oasis at midnight. Great stake placed, actually, the mare. And had three babies and a winner as well, and he's got the other two have started and both have placed. And as Tommy told you, there's some very nice pedigrees today, particularly that'll go through, and some first croppers. To see if some one of the ones jumps out at me from these early Awesome Slew. Awesome Slew is going to be. You're going to watch Awesome Slew carefully here the next couple of days. And there's Classic Empire, who came up in conversation with Mark Cassie yesterday. Yeah, I suppose the difference here, when Keeneland, I asked Tommy that question about, where you would equate this group of horses versus the Keeneland sale, and just at a glance, actually, because I did not go through this catalog. Some catalogs don't go through when they come. The second dams here are the deeper part of the page. The first dams are a little lighter, whether it be first foals or, second foals. But it's really the strength, the depth of the page generally picks up with the second dams. Well, some very nice ones, actually. Yeah, that's an interesting... Here's a couple of closely related, actually, that are going to go through right after each other. Hip 30 and Hip 34. A Matoli filly and a Kazan colt. Deputy Delight is the second dam of the Kazan, and she's the third dam of the Matoli. That'll be interesting to watch. Back after this... At the Races.
At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety.
And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out